Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim. The announcer just told you that. Ed Vitagliano joins us this morning.
It's worth repeating.
Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning.
Walker Wildman.
Good morning.
And the one and only, Fred Jackson. You ever been described that way, Fred?
The one and only, yeah. Well, people have said, enough of you, Jackson. I guess that's the same.
Sound like you've had military experiments.
That's about it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You did serve in the
Canadian military.
Yeah, which branch?
Air Force, trained as a pilot.
Oh, when was this?
Oh,
a long time ago.
Long time ago.
Biplanes, wasn't it biplanes? Two-wingers?
No. 1976, late 70s.
The Wright brothers.
The Wright brothers.
That's when you got started. No, I'm just kidding. You said what now, in the 70s?
Late 70s, after I got out of university.
How long did you, now, did you sign up for that?
Signed up for it. I always wanted to learn to fly airplanes, but didn't have the money. So, good reason to get in the military.
What was your experience there?
Primary flying school was props, and then moved on to jets into the secondary.
Did you fly a jet?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. I haven't known you all these years. I never knew that.
Well, you didn't know that about Fred?
I wondered, Fred, why you wore a Boeing necklace or lanyard.
Yeah, that was given to me as a gift, but no.
What kind of jets?
Just a training jet.
Right.
I actually got out before training was ended because, you know, I love the military. I love the discipline that it trains, but I came to discover after I was soloing for a while, you're up there by yourself, flying is numbers and procedures, very, very, very routine that you stick with. And I just found myself, you know, this is fun, but I don't think I want to do it as a career. And the Canadian military was very gracious. I asked to exit, and they allowed me to leave.
You're a word guy.
I'm a word guy.
Yeah, you're good with words, and I can see where numbers and, you know, doing the same thing all the time might be confining.
Now let me be clear. It's necessary in flying that you follow numbers and procedures because, you know, there was a saying when I was going through training, and wasn't unique. It's been around for a long time. Flying, and this is what the instructors told you, hours of boredom intermingled with moments of sheer panic. And that's true. I had an experience. You're taking me down this road of memories here. I had an experience once. We trained with Dutch pilots there in Canada, and we had runways that ran east-west, two of them. And so, but every now and then, particularly in the late afternoon, the wind changes. And one day I was up, the runway heading has changed, the wind had changed, so we had a procedure where you turn around and start landing the other direction. Well, one of the Dutch pilots didn't get that message. And so I found myself headed nose-to-nose, closing speeds probably of 500, 600 miles an hour, and there was a guy in front of me. And that was a moment of sheer panic. But there was a procedure for that, and thank God.
What was it?
Procedure is you peel off to the right immediately.
Both of you?
Yes.
Is that universal?
Peel to the right.
So that both go right so you don't collide.
Yeah. That's right.
Saved your life.
Yes. Yeah, that was a moment of sheer panic.
Mm. Wow. Well, we're glad you survived that so you could be here with us today.
Me too.
Yeah, amen.
On the ground covering the news.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It always amazes me. As
the Democrats fly our country into the ground.
What a segue.
Forgetting to peel right.
I'm sorry, I had to say that.
But the software that runs all the flight plans mm-hmm. for the entire country.
Yes.
It's just you've got thousands of airplanes in the air at the same time. And yes. I've just always thought, my doomsday mind, what if that software glitches and you've got 1,000 planes in the air and nobody knows where to go?
Yeah. If you ever want to see, there's a piece of software, FlightAware, and you bring that up, you can bring it up on your computer, and if you scope out so that you see the whole country, you would not believe how many airplanes are in the air. Even during this time of pandemic,
yeah,
the sky is full of airplanes. And hats off to ATC, Air Traffic Control,
for keeping this straight. It really is.
It's impressive.
Every once in a while, especially if I'm if you can do a flight tracker.
Yeah.
You can go on the internet and track flights, and you can see, I believe I'm right on this, you can see, you know, airplanes in the air.
Yes.
And this is probably just commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Not even involving smaller private planes. They're all in the air at the same time across the U.S. and Canada, and just amazing that there are no more accidents than there are. Mm-hmm. And by the way, not all Democrats want to drive our country into the ground. Just a very high percentage of
just
them.
Just 99% of them.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. The progressives / regressives.
Yes.
Will fly the country into the ground.
Oh, I long for the day we just had good old traditional Democrats.
Yes.
Right. All right, Walker, tell our folks listening how they can join us on the internet.
Yeah, we have a couple of different options. As always, you can visit our website, afr.net. It's the best way to connect to the ministry here, afr.net. You can listen live and get our podcast there. We have our app on Apple and Android devices, the AFR app. It's free. You can listen live and get our podcast there. And then lastly, we're on Facebook and YouTube live streaming the show. Just go to Today's Issues on Facebook or YouTube.
All right, Dr. Robert Jeffress, by the way, First Baptist Church, Dallas, will be joining us in 5 minutes. Go ahead, Fred.
Well, speaking of military, we've been mentioning that 25,000 members of the National Guard are in Washington, D.C. right now to provide security for the inaugural events, which 24 hours from now will take place in D.C. And these are men and women from across the country who have come in and are doing their duty. These are National Guard. These are people who have jobs in the secular world, but they, you know, have volunteered to be members of the National Guard. Well, you would think that members of Congress would be so thankful for these 25,000 men and women. Well, Tennessee Democrat Congressman Steve Cohen, well, I'll tell you what, he is under fire this morning, and here's why. He has suggested that because most of these National Guard members are white males, they can't be trusted because they likely voted for Donald Trump. All right, so here's Steve Cohen, and here's a response from Fox and Friends' Dan Bongino, who is a former member of the military himself. Cut number one.
The Guard is 90-some-odd percent, I believe, male. Only about 20% of white males voted for Biden. You got to figure that in the Guard, they're probably not more than 25% of the people that are there protecting us who voted for Biden. The other 75% are in the class that would be the large class of folks who might want to do something.
You're making cheap politics out of it, yes, to attack Trump supporters and people like me, unlike Steve Cohen, who actually put my caboose on the line to protect Barack Obama and his family.
Gotcha.
And I did it proudly. And you know what? I'd do it again. Because that's what we do in the Secret Service. It's not a third world republic. And condemning our National Guard folks because of the color of their skin, like they can't do their job, they raised their right hand and swore to protect the Constitution. Don't insult them like that. But politicians, that's what they do. That's why they're politicians, and they don't have real jobs.
This guy, Steve Cohen, is a congressman from the Memphis area.
That is correct.
Isn't that racial profiling, Ed?
White
males make up the majority of the National Guard. Therefore, they are potentially a threat to Joe Biden on Wednesday.
Yeah, he was implying that because 80%, I think those are the figures, or 75% of the National Guard, probably of those white males, probably voted for Trump, that they might try to do something. He's talking about a military coup but on the part of white National Guardsmen. Oh, and listen, that is what he said is as offensive as we are making it out to be, but there will be no repercussions because I think the majority the majority of people in the media agree with them. The mainstream media, by and large, has never liked the military since the Vietnam days, and they don't trust the military. They don't trust people with guns, whether they're in the military or outside the military. And I think probably most of them, since they, some of them at least, believe that Trump supporters should be deprogrammed. That's what Katie Couric said. Yeah. I believe they probably agree. So they are not. Cohen is not going to suffer any recompense or repercussions.
Well, and this is a trend here because we had the clip, and I know y'all played it yesterday and we played it last week, of the of CNN, one of the CNN, was it Cuomo, saying that, that basically Trump supporters are either...
It was Don Lemon.
Don Lemon, saying
Don Lemon said...
They're either Nazis, white supremacists, so on and so forth, all these evil things. So Trump supporters have to fall into one of those camps. Well, this is following that same thought process. And it's really insulting, and that's putting it mildly, because there's no factual evidence to represent what he's saying.
Well, why call him out?
Sometimes we have that we have military members who are gonna, what are they gonna do? Knock off the president of the United States, the commander in chief? That's absurd. You can't make that accusation with no evidence.
And Cohen is white. Okay,
yeah.
I think
he's Jewish.
This is not a black congressman insulting white voters who voted for Trump. This is a leftist, radical, progressive white guy who believes that the color of your skin determines, obviously it's his ideology that he's...
And your gender.
So this is the how the far left now has begun viewing white males in general, but especially white males who are conservative and or Christian, is they will do what Cohen is suggesting. They're against the Constitution.
You know, the first people that are going to be put out in exile are... I'm looking at y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because white, male.
Heterosexual.
Southern, Christian, heterosexual.
Okay. Now, Fred and
We're the first ones.
Fred and I are not Southern. But I don't think it's going to get us.
Well,
much.
They're going to get you next after they round up the Southern.
They could say Fred Jackson and Ed Vitagliano married Southern girls.
Yeah, I know.
So
yeah. Well, then you're complicit.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. All right. You're listening to today's issues. That is just appalling. A congressman from the Memphis area would they be able to slander the National Guard?
He should be censured
by
the House.
There's not one Democrat that has condemned it to
these
my
These National
knowledge.
Guard members are protecting him.
Yes.
They're protecting the Capitol.
And my thing is, if they're so dangerous, why did the Democrats call him in?
Right.
Yeah.
Why do they call him in to Washington if they're so suspicious of them? All right. You're listening to today's issues. We want to welcome now our good friend, Dr. Robert Jeffress. He's the senior pastor of the First Baptist Church, Dallas. Also heard each morning here on Pathway to Victory on American Family Radio. He's been on with us many, many years with his Bible teaching program. And he joins us now. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Tim. Good to be with you.
Are you at the church today, or where are you?
I'm in Dallas today.
Okay. Tell us about your new book coming out right now.
Yeah, it actually today releases. It's a place called Heaven Devotional, 100 Days of Living in the Hope of Eternity. And it's a book based on my book from a couple of years ago, A Place Called Heaven. These are 100 devotionals that challenge Christians to spend the next 100 days thinking about heaven and what God has prepared for us. You know, when I wrote this about a year and a half ago, I had no idea the week it came out we would be in the midst of a political civil war, a pandemic. But I think everybody agrees it's time we need some hope as well. And this new book, A Place Called Heaven Devotional, will be a great way for people to start the year thinking about what God has in store for us.
So it's out today.
Out today, and it's available at Amazon. Hobby Lobby is carrying it, all e-tailers and bookstores.
Amen. I got to say, heaven's always looked pretty good, but it looks even better today.
Isn't that the truth?
All right. I saw a column yesterday that, I don't know if it was an article, I guess, quoting you from the Christian Post, which and the article that we're about to discuss with Dr. Jeffress is on our Facebook page. Today's issues, which is still active. We've not been fact checked there yet for anything that I'm aware of or taken down or put in time out. But anyway, we've posted it on our Today's Issues Facebook page, so you can read it for yourself. But Robert, the headline for the article says, talking about your comments, and it says, "Church must be, quote, be prepared," that's your words, "for increasing, quote, persecution under Biden." What are you talking about there?
Well, this was a part of my sermon Sunday on how Christians should respond to President Biden. And by the way, that sermon is going to air on Pathway to Victory and American Family Radio this coming Monday and Tuesday. It's a two-part message. And the overall message was that even though the occupant of the Oval Office is changing tomorrow, the occupant of the throne of heaven is not changing. Mm. And I talk about four things that a Biden presidency cannot change, starting with the sovereignty of God. I mean, you know, Tuesday night, November 3rd, God didn't slap his forehead and said, "Oh, no, I can't believe we're losing Pennsylvania. What are we going to do?" I mean, there was no panic in heaven. God is sovereign over all things, including elections. And I think God's purpose is not going to change at all. But, Tim, I think we have to be realistic that under a Biden administration, just what he has already stated is going to be a part of his agenda. We need to know that the church is going to face increasing pressure. I mean, you know, one theologian said the way you have a moral revolution is when those things that were celebrated are now condemned, those things that were condemned are now celebrated, and those who refuse to celebrate will be condemned. And that's where we are right now. We've got a new administration that is going to be celebrating what God has condemned. And when you have government and culture celebrating and the church condemning, you're going to have friction, pressure, and persecution.
The reminder first and foremost that we Christians have a higher calling than our earthly calling, so to speak. Yes, we should be engaged, and we should be trying to do all we can to promote righteousness in the culture, but we have to, obviously, we take the eternal view, right?
Yes, right.
There's some things we're going to have to watch for. I'm going to write a column on this soon, there's some things we're going to have to watch for, Robert, what the left will, and they've been trying this for a few years now, but what they're going to do is they're going to try to label people like us. Now they've gone beyond white supremacist, right?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, we have a tremendous support base of our ministry of non-white people. Okay, let me say,
yes.
Blacks and Hispanics and Asians and others. We know that because of our share-a-thons and people who write us and come by here and so forth. So, but they're going to try to label us such, and then use the federal government to come after us in the name of saving our country from these people. The FCC, I predict. I hope I'm wrong about this. The FCC will try to be used to say to groups like us, okay, you're saying homosexuality is a sin, and that's inciting violence against a group of people. Therefore, American Family Radio, you don't have a right to have a radio license. Now, that hasn't happened yet, and I hope that it won't. But I see how they're going after Fox News now.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go after, by the left, they're trying to deplatform all conservative outlets for thought. And so that kind of thing, I hope that the IRS won't be weaponized here again like it was under the Obama administration. You remember the woman who became famous? Lois.
Oh, yeah.
Her name, nothing ever happened to her.
Right.
By the way, even though she was in charge of the department that was denying tax-exempt status to patriot groups.
Right.
You remember this.
Conservatives, yeah.
So those are just two ways, Robert, I can think definitively that the left may use to try to come after
Well, I think you're absolutely right. In fact, I talk about that in my sermon that will be airing this Monday and Tuesday on AFR. Look, and it's going to come very subtly. Look, what happened at the Capitol 2 weeks ago was despicable. To have people assaulting police officers, we ought to denounce that with every fiber of our being. I mean, these people who were committing violence and then having prayer meetings in the Capitol, that is horrendous. We've got to be clear about that. But what's going to happen is the left is going to say, we've got to rid our culture of the poison, poisonous speech. And they're going to, under the guise of trying to have a better society, just like you did, they're going to label what we say is a dogma of the Christian faith. They're going to label that as hate speech, not just on moral issues, but if you say that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, well, that's hate speech against other religions. And it's very easy to see how the slippery slope of beginning to restrict free speech is going to touch every one of us soon.
Fred?
Yeah, good question. You know, we've seen persecution against Christians the last several years. I'm thinking of the Baron L. Stutzman, Jim Phillips, Christian business people who refused to go along with requests to give flowers to homosexual weddings, that sort of thing. How long do you think it's going to be before restrictions are attempted on preachers in their pulpits?
I think it will start, like Tim said, with the FCC. I do think the IRS will be weaponized at some point to say the way the government says it is, we can't support organizations. In other words, by not taxing you, that is the same as supporting you. Right. And so they're going to say, we cannot support organizations that engage in hate speech. I think it's going to be very quick. What most people forget, Fred, is that this was accelerating under the last couple of years of Obama. The election of President Trump put a hold on that. Mm-hmm. But I think now that he's gone, I think it's going to pick up again, and it's going to come more quickly than any of us can imagine.
Pastor Jeffers, one more question I had. Were you surprised at the level of opposition from within the evangelical circle against President Trump? I mean, we had leaders in the SBC calling for the impeachment of President Trump last week. Do you think they're now satisfied that Biden is in there?
No, they won't ever be satisfied. That is a small group, and they're running into problems. They're having funding problems in the SBC because the people in leadership now do not represent the majority of Southern Baptists. But I do need to say this. This persecution, and by the way, people laugh at us and ridicule us for talking about persecution, and it's nothing compared to what's happening to Christians elsewhere. Look, it always begins with marginalization, first of all. It is a gradual process. But most churches, let's be honest, guys, most churches won't be affected by any of this because most churches aren't teaching the truth of God's word. They have become more like the culture. And so this is going to affect a very small group of so-called Christendom.
Well, also, there may come a time when we have to say to our supporters, or Robert, you have to say to your church, you know, folks, your donations are no longer tax deductible because we're not going to submit to the IRS's demands.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it's gonna separate the wheat from the tares. It really is.
I don't think that would affect our support base that much. I don't think it would affect the donors of First Baptist Church or Pathway to Victory because they're committed to the cause.
Right.
Whether they get a tax deduction or not. But it would be a form of persecuting religious people, and Christians in particular.
And broadcast license and revoking those are going to have a major impact.
We're going to have to watch for that and fight against that. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate it, brother.
Great to be with you guys. Thank you.
All right.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
I'm not naive after what's happening, but I can't say all is lost. And as a result, we are doomed. Because I know that my God, the God of the Bible, is not surprised by what's happening in our time.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary sponsored by Truett McConnell University.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Today is the last day of the Trump administration. I know that may come as a shock to many of you who have followed the daily deluge of conspiracy theories. The president will not declare martial law. There will not be some sort of last-minute Supreme Court intervention. The Kraken will not be released. The reality is Joe Biden is the president-elect, and the United States is about to embark on a dark and dangerous voyage toward socialism. And it's time for the American people to come to terms with that reality. Look, I have no doubt in my mind the election was stolen. Unfortunately, the Trump legal team was simply unable to prove their case. So today we bid farewell to President Trump, who I believe history will judge as one of the greatest presidents in history. He promised to make our country great again, and he did. Godspeed, Mr. President. Be sure to download my free podcast, order a copy of my latest book at toddstearns.com.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, can the IRS or the SEC or any other three-letter federal agency, can they take away popcorn from Christians?
If we get to that point, Tim, then...
Or from anybody, for that matter. Can they regulate popcorn consumption?
Well, I think under a progressive government, the nanny state, they'll regulate anything they can get their hands on. If there was money to be made.
Well, I'm getting my hands on it right now. All right. Folks, you got to have a little levity, huh?
Boy, especially today, man. This has been tough. This has been tough going.
You going to play funeral music all day on AFR, huh? Woe is us. Hey, we have the joy of the Lord.
Amen. Yeah. That's right. You've been preaching this week. That's good.
Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength.
I feel strong. You guys feel strong?
One of you guys tell me where that is in the scripture.
That is in the Bible.
I can always count on this.
That's right.
It's got to be a psalm or a proverb.
Actually, Ed does know a lot. You can cite a lot of verses, at least chapters and books in the Bible. I want to get there.
Periodically, yeah. I can. Except under pressure, I can't.
Who can do that on our staff?
Alex.
Yeah, brother Alex.
It's hard to get one past him.
And Abe.
Yeah.
Abe and Alex. If I was picking a Bible trivia team that I was going to be the head coach of, those would be my first two picks.
Mine as well.
Alex and Abe.
And don't forget Bert. Brother Bert Harper.
Oh, Bert. Yeah. Brother Bert.
He can come in third, your third.
Thank you for listening to AFR, Fred and Ed and Walker and Tim. We thank you for listening. If you want to send us an email, the address is comments@afr.net, afr.net. If you're from the FCC or IRS, the email address is We don't accept your email at afa.com. All right. Is Sandy on with us? Sandy Rios joins us from Parts Unknown. Sandy's the Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association. She's also, that's our ministry, so she represents us in Washington, D.C. Sandy also is a host of Sandy Rios in the morning, weekday mornings from 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time, right here on AFR. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim. I was just thinking when you said that, you know, hardly anybody is representing anybody in Washington, D.C. right now.
Well, true.
You know, Congress is gone. You know, everybody's shut down. It's just, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
Hey, people might want to know what that job entails, because you're host of the radio program, but you also do represent us. So you work with a lot of people and groups to promote the Christian value system in the many and various ways that AFA does, right?
Yeah, I do. I guess I have a lot of, because of my years in D.C., I have a lot of connections. They're not all Christians. Many of them are not, but they're policy experts who, you know, hold to great values and truth. So, and some of them are. So probably my biggest contribution, Tim, is just the knowledge that I gain from my association and meetings with them, which is what I do a lot. I do lot of that.
You know,
plus about 100,000 email in my box, which I try to read. You know, so it's information. It's what if people think I know something, that's attributed. That's because of the people that I am connected with who give me really great, reliable information.
Sandy, you've traveled around the world. You've talked about some of those stories here. I want to talk about something that Ed you brought up earlier. And that is, there are some of our fellow Christians, and they say things like this. Quit complaining about the change in the government and who the president is, whether just because he's, quote, progressive or liberal or regressive, as Abe calls them. You people complaining and whining, you don't know what persecution is. There are many Christians around the world who suffer much worse persecution than what you're talking about. Okay, that's one of those red herrings or false arguments, but it sounds so good.
Oh, it sounds spiritual.
You just mic drop, right, after you say something
that's so spiritual.
Something like that. My point is, I don't know why I have a tendency to answer my own questions when I've posed them to Ed and Sandy, but let me just say this, and then we'll go to you, Ed, first, and then I want to go to Sandy Walker, and Fred can chime in here. Folks, we don't ever want to get to that point. All right, that's the reason we champion freedom and liberty and a republic and our constitutional way of governing and human rights. All those things, we don't want to lose those things. Freedom of religion, freedom of speech. We want our children and our grandchildren to grow up in a country that doesn't persecute Christians.
Yeah, I'll just answer it quickly because most people want to hear Sandy. They don't want to hear me. I'll just say this one thing. That view that you just cited is based, in my opinion, on a false presupposition. And that false presupposition is this. Because I've heard Christians say this many times, the church does better in persecution, it grows more, persecution is good for the church, all right? That is false, okay? What a lot of Christians will do is they'll point to Acts chapter 8, and they say persecution sent the church outside of Jerusalem and the gospel spread. And that is true. Christianity can spread during persecution. But if you go to the very next chapter, Acts chapter 9, verse 31, it says, and there was peace, and the church prospered and grew. My point is that the church can do well in any circumstance if they will be obedient to God, because God will bless faithful and obedient Christians. The question is, what is actually better for the gospel? My opinion is when people are free to preach the gospel. And Christianity is being devastated in the Middle East because of persecution in many places like Iraq. It's almost being eliminated. And yet the United States sends more missionaries around the world, and we are freer to preach the gospel than any, perhaps any nation in history. So Christians need to get their theology right and understand that freedom is a blessing to Christians who are being faithful and obedient. That's all I get to say about that.
Amen.
Tag team that one, Sandy.
Okay. Well, I love what you said, Ed. I have to say, you know, America has been an example of what you're saying, the first part, where we, our founding fathers, for the most part, were committed Christians of varying stripes, a lot of pastors, but they certainly knew God's word, and they did. They wrote the Constitution and established the articles that we have, all of that, the Bill of Rights, based on Christian principles. And they said right from the front that this kind of government would only work if people were privately moral and controlled themselves. And they made that point. They were very serious about it. And so America, based on those, that incredible foundation, flourished. And in terms of spiritually, we, as Ed said, we sent out more missionaries than any country in the history of the world. We developed communication skills and all this stuff, and we helped people, and we medical missions and all of that. And the gospel went to heavens, to China, to Africa. Think of the countries who have been transformed by the spreading of the gospel that initiated much of it in the United States of America. So you're absolutely right. I would say that slightly say differently. When it looks like in those nations that the church is being eradicated, and it is, you know, like the church, but we also know that the church is never eradicated. And I think of, Ed, I think of China, how the missionaries were kicked out in the 30s. I believe it was the 30s before the revolution. All the Western missionaries were kicked out, and China went silent. They went dark for decades. And when we finally got in there, we found out that there was an unbelievably powerful underground church. So both things are true. And I think, I do think that a couple things. I think that, first of all, yes, if we're whining about our own personal circumstances and how rough it's going to be on us personally, then there's probably something to examine there. But I think most of us, personally, I think most of us, as you said, Tim, it's not about, it can be in part our personal safety. I have a lot of friends that are losing their jobs, that are being threatened, that are going through hell in D.C., really. And so we're not there yet. We're not feeling that hot breath of that quite yet, although some people are, like the people that were at the insurgency at the Capitol a couple of weeks ago, losing their jobs, they're being arrested. So some of that's going on. They're not all Christians. I'm not mixing that up. I'm just making that distinction. So there is real danger. Right now, most of us are not really facing it. Our concern is, for, as Tim said, for our neighbors, kids. I'm telling you, this is what goes through my mind. I think of all the people, and in my neighborhood, actually, they're probably in my immediate neighborhood, certainly more non-believers than believers. And they probably, most of them have been for Biden. And I don't feel, what I feel is compassion, because they have no idea what's about to hit them. And I feel compassion for my own children, my grandchildren. I worry about our country. And so that's why I complain. I talk about what's happening every day, because I want people to understand what's coming and greet it with their eyes wide open and do whatever they can to prepare themselves spiritually and physically.
You know, Fred, Ed was mentioning this before the program and during the break. The last 4 years, President Trump has promoted to the federal court judges, I'm thinking 25 to 30% of all federal judges now. Is this true, Walker, were appointed by Trump? Something like that.
Yeah. He appointed several hundred.
It's a very significant number in 4 years.
Yeah.
That, so Fred, Ed was saying, who knows? Those women and men may save the country.
Yes. Huh? It's interesting that you say that, because I was having a discussion with someone last night saying that is one of the bright spots, what the president has been able to accomplish I think Joe Biden will try to undo most other things.
Yeah, but he can't get rid of those judges.
But he can't get rid of those judges. Mm-hmm. And as we saw during the Trump years, how many times judges, federal judges appointed by Barack Obama and others, quashed what he was trying to do. The reverse may come into play over the next few years.
Also, the Supreme Court of the United States doesn't hear, Walker, but about 2%, I think, of the cases that are brought up to their level. So they let 98% of all lower court rulings stand.
Right. Yeah, the vast majority of federal cases end up getting settled at lower court levels, to your point. And these are the Article III judges that President Trump appointed. Over 230 of them were approved by the Senate, appointed by President Trump, not to mention the Supreme Court justices. So those judges very well could be a firewall against many unconstitutional acts by the Biden administration and by various states.
Yeah.
23%.
23% of the federal judiciary, which are lifetime appointments, were appointed by President Trump the last 4 years. And most all of them were younger, mm-hmm. you know, 40s and their 40s and their 50s. So it's very strategic. And to me, it's the best thing that I'm trying to think. It's one of the best things that the president did the last 4 years, President Trump, that he needs to be thanked for, is appointing all these judges. Of course, that was his duty and his responsibility. And for some reason, President Obama left a lot of vacancies that he didn't have to leave before he left, and President Trump filled them. All right, Sandy, who do you have on tomorrow on your show?
Tomorrow morning, I'm going to be talking to Scott Walter of Capital Research Center. We're going to be talking about the Biden nominees and who they are, because some of them are pretty scary.
You mean for his cabinet?
Yes, for his cabinet and other things, agencies. We're going to be not talking about all of them because we can't, but we'll be talking about the ones that are the most egregious. Like, for instance, the person that's going to be over Iran policy is the person that wrote the Iran deal that President Trump withdrew from. That was a nightmare. So coming back,
I tell you what, you know, Vice President, well, now former Vice President Biden, President-elect tomorrow, he'll be President of the United States. Biden, we've all noticed this. We've talked about it. He's not going to be in charge, you know.
Right.
He's just not. I don't know if it's going to be Kamala Harris, the VP, if that's going to be Susan Rice.
I think whoever his chief of staff is, and I think he's already named him, I just can't think of it, and the vice president will be
basically going to run things,
driving the ship. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, let me slightly alter that, because I really don't think personally that anyone in the White House is going to be running it. That doesn't mean they won't do their official function, but there's a much greater cabal of minds behind all of this. This is a complete takeover, really.
Of the executive branch.
But somebody in the White House has to be calling the shots, Sandy.
Ron Klain.
Oh, yes.
Doesn't someone have to be calling the shots in the White House, even though they may be taking advice from outside?
Yeah, yes, Walker. They'll be doing their job and calling a lot of the shots. I'm just saying it's not just them. It'll never be Kamala Harris who's actually thinking through what we should be doing. It's a much deeper project than this. And it's, of course, not just the executive. It's the whole thing. I mean, they are all those forces in D.C. right now, I believe very strongly, are there to tell us that they are in control now, and they are. And I have to say, I personally think that every single institution has crumbled. I don't think there really is I know that's not what you want to hear, but I just don't think there's much of a firewall at all right now. We're in for some really rough times. Tim, what you said to begin with, our God is great. I'm really, in spite of what I say, I'm not depressed or worried. I trust God. Mm-hmm. So whatever he brings our way, he will give us the strength and the courage to meet it. And I think our greatest challenge is to meet it in his way, to meet it with courage and grace in a way that proclaims him, because that's what it's going to boil down to now, is a tremendous witness to the world and to the nation.
Yeah. I think to your point, Sandy, the Christians have a balancing act here between telling the truth about what's coming, which we all see, but also reminding people that we have eternal hope in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And so we need to inform the public of what's going on, both good and bad, but also remind people that
we pray for our country, because we serve a mighty God who can change people's hearts. Absolutely. He can change Joe Biden.
That's right.
He can change Kamala Harris. God.
He can bring revival.
He can bring revival. Ed thinks that's on the horizon.
And he can protect his people.
Amen.
In miraculous ways. Amen. And so, you know, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Yeah. So
that is in the Bible as well.
Thank you, Ray. So no, good. Ed, I'm sorry. Ed. Thank you, Ed. Oh, whatever your name.
Ask Ed where it is in the scripture, and he'll tell you it's in the Bible.
It's right there in the Bible.
Page 15.
All right. Thank you, Sandy.
Oh, you're welcome. Appreciate it's great to talk to you guys. Okay. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Fred?
Yes. Well, the call for deprogramming conservatives continues. And not to be outdone by others, Katie Couric has now joined that effort. And in an interview that she had, she's calling for the deprogramming of those conservatives, those Trump supporters. And so anyway, I got a clip of her calling on that deprogramming effort to go forward, but also a reaction to that from Washington Times editor Charlie Hurt. Here's cut number three.
How are we going to really almost deprogram these people who have signed up for the cult of Trump?
It's as if they are members of a cult, the Trumpist cult, and we have to be deprogrammed.
We have to turn down the capability of these conservative influencers. It's up to the Facebooks and YouTubes in particular to think about whether or not they want to be effectively cable networks for disinformation.
It's not just contempt for President Trump. They hate President Trump. It's their contempt for the people who support him. It's their contempt for American voters. That's who they really want to go after. And that's what's really alarming. That's where this whole atmosphere has been ratcheted up to something entirely new.
Yeah, it's promoting hatred against Trump supporters.
You know,
well, Katie Couric was mentioned there, but a couple of others. I think that was Stamos from yesterday that we played, the former security person for Facebook.
Facebook, yeah.
Katie Couric's the best known of those that we just heard. And she said, what did she say, deprogram Trump supporters from the cult of Trump? Is that what she said?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what the left has done with this whole narrative and whole argument has been shrewd. I'll just say this. The 74 million or 75 or how many million people who supported President Trump and voted for him, they voted for him because of his pro-life policies. They voted for him because of his view of the Constitution and judges. They voted for him because he stood up to communist China. They voted for him because he was in favor of a strong military, not getting involved in unnecessary wars, but a strong military for the United States. They voted for President Trump because he believed in controlling illegal immigration, where we're not flooded by millions of people coming to our country. We don't know who they are. So he tried to put up a wall. He worked with Mexico and Central American government leaders to stop stop these thousands and thousands of people from coming into our country illegally. Those are just some of the reasons. They voted for President Trump because he had a strong relationship with our best ally in the Middle East, namely Israel. I could give you a myriad of reasons. Those are just about seven or eight that come to mind. Why 74 million people voted for President Trump. What the left on this country wants to do is dismiss all those reasons I just mentioned, which are really the ones that are in the hearts of people who support President Trump, make America great again. And they want to say, no, I don't want to talk about all that. I want to talk about your white privilege. I want to talk about the fact that you support a cult in voting for Donald Trump. I want to talk about the fact that you are a KKK and you're a Nazi, right? And that's what you support. You see, so if you get that into the minds of your of the neighbors that we have that supported Joe Biden, then they look at us as they see us walking out to our car every day with our swastika on our an imaginary swastika
right
yeah
on our jackets, okay, because we have a Trump banner or whatever, our bumper sticker or whatever, or we support President Trump. That is, as I say, that is very shrewd of the political left in this country, because if you were to say, well, we differ on trade agreements with China, stand up to communist China, that Biden supporter may say, I agree with you on that. If you say to them, do you believe in controlling our borders and controlling who comes into our country, illegal immigration, stopping that, that Biden supporter may say, a lot of them may say, yeah, I agree with you on that. We need to protect our own people and our jobs, but, and so forth.
Yeah.
But if you, one other thing, Walker, yeah, and then you feel free to go. But if you just lay it out that Trump supporters are advancing white supremacy, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then those Biden supporters are going to go, oh my goodness, I don't want our country taken over by the Ku Klux Klan. I've got to stop these people.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Walker.
Yeah, the purpose and the end result behind this amped up extreme rhetoric is there's never any valuable debate. Because if you start with the premise that Trump supporters are all these evil things that we're talking about, then there's no room for debate. We don't, as a Democrat, the viewpoint is we don't debate Nazis, we don't debate the KKK.
We shut them down.
Yeah, there should be no conversation. There will be no policy debate, there will be no position debate, no discussion on your viewpoints, because your entire ideology and purpose is invalid and evil.
No, it's a brilliant argument, because once you have dehumanized your political opponent, then all the things they believe can be thrown in the trash can too. So wanting to protect our border becomes
xenophobic. You don't like brown people.
That's right. You want to protect the institution of marriage, you're a homophobe. So everything you believe gets thrown in the garbage with you.
You want to call it a Chinese virus?
Right. Xenophobic.
You hate Asian people.
Yeah. And all these people on the left, Nancy Pelosi, for example, Joe Biden, both of them, when this virus first hit, okay, they were the ones out there saying, let's not shut down. You can't shut down flights from China. Remember Nancy Pelosi going down to, in San Francisco to Chinatown saying, y'all come, in her way of doing it. But then when this pandemic hit, they turned that around and used it to blame Trump. And then what did all those who supported Trump become? Super spreaders. You want to kill people. You don't care about people.
Right.
So this is all about assassinating the character of your political opponents. And and you're right. It is not only shrewd, it's demonically shrewd.
Mm-hmm. And don't be surprised when there's a reaction from 74 million people who are tired of being called racist.
Yeah.
And they're tired of being called Nazis, and they're tired of being canceled. Guess what? And a lot of them are not like us. They don't exactly have the fruits of the Spirit.
Right.
They may not be Christian people, but they don't like, but they voted and supported Trump, and they don't like being, I'm saying?
And they're not going to take kindly to attempts to deprogram them.
There's some pushback.
Right.
There's some pushback and even some fight back among some of them. I mean, I don't mean that in a literal get out the guns, but there's a reason people are buying guns.
Yeah,
because they fear the imposition of an inquisition, perhaps.
Yeah,
of a coming federal government oppression. A lot of people think like that. We'll be back in a minute.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.